Welcome to Dr. Cindy Speaks, regular musings and reflections on politics, current events. Dr. Cindy Banier is a mom and small business owner fighting for our water, our health, our community. She's running for the people of Southwest Florida, trying to flip Florida 19 from red to blue. Listen as she speaks truth to power.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me here for Dr. Cindy Speaks. I am your host, Dr. Cindy Banier, and I am continuing my work for 2024, which is helping to elevate the voices of amazing candidates around Florida who are running for office to help basically save our democracy. So I am very happy to hear to have a candidate that's very local to me, Cornelius Fowler. He is running for state House 77, right? Did I get that number right? I always get the numbers all mixed up. State House 77 against Tiffany Esposito, who has been fully sucked into the Republican machine in the state of Florida, has basically no mind of her own. She's like falsely passing off documents that she says that she wrote that were actually wrote by, you know, lobbyist think tanks. So totally enmeshed in the Republican machine. But instead, here we have somebody who works with machines and works with agriculture in the state of Florida, is a union representative, family man, grew up on the banks of the Okeechobee, as he likes to say, and has got quite an active family life in politics as well. So let me go ahead and let him introduce himself to you. Cornelius Fowler, how's it going today?
It's going good. It's going good. Glad to be here. Glad to be a representation of the people. You know, that's my main thing, is putting people back at the table. I believe that our current leaders of the state in the Republican Party has no respect for the working class people. They do things with total disregards of the people that it's actually affecting. And I believe that's because, you know, for years they've just been re-voted in, re-elected. And I think we're at a particular time in our state history where people are really starting to realize that the things that are happening in the state is not inconsistent with their values. So I believe that we're at a point where we're going to reject those types of tactics that they've been using for decades in this state. And I believe that we have the momentum to flip these seats in Southwest Florida.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. What's funny is that we even saw outgoing Senate President Kathleen Passidomo, who is a representative for Southwest Florida, part of Lee County, and then going down into Collier County. She really put the kibosh on all of these red meat Republican culture war bills that Ron DeSantis has been like riding high on for a few years. Most of them died this session, which is great for the people in Florida. But I think that we were even getting nationwide coverage. There's a story in the Washington Post this week about how people in the state of Florida are very tired of these culture wars, especially when we have real issues going on. Like, we have skyrocketing housing prices, skyrocketing insurance prices, jobs that are squeezing our wages, and we have basically very little movement for middle class. We have a donut as an economy, as I like to say it. And not to mention the fact that we are based on tourism, which it relies heavily on our environment, but we've had Republican leadership who've destroyed the environment in favor of developers. And, you know, we have blue-green algae coming down, the Lake Okeechobee releases that are, you know, causing problems for our shores. And a lot of it just has to do with lackadaisical leadership in Tallahassee. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to do for people once you get to Tallahassee.
Well, one of my main thing is, you know, fighting for livable wages. You know, that's one of the main issues that we are having here in the state because of the price of living here in the state of Florida. You know, under the control of this controlling party, you know, prices have skyrocketed to a point to where it's no longer affordable here. But one way that we can combat that is by targeting industries that's going to bring higher paying jobs to our state. You know, we're all for tourism. It's a big part of our state, and we want to see that continue to grow. But we want to see jobs that people, you know, really can benefit off of, where people can be able to afford, you know, their rent and their mortgage and to pay their taxes. You know, I don't see it's not very many people that I know that's looking for a handout. They're looking for a fair chance. And we, as state representatives, we have to give our citizens of the state that fair chance. You know, I really believe if you're not willing to put yourself on the line, then you're not qualified to be in that seat, because at that point you have been bought and you have sold the people, and it's time for us to make those changes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So affordable housing is a very important issue for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about affordable housing, because we know that in our area earlier last year, it was noted that the Cape Coral metro area, and that's, you know, the Cape Coral, Fort Myers area, had been the most overpriced metro area in the country in terms of housing prices and rental prices. And this has absolutely squeezed out working class folks. And we have a unique situation here because of the Hurricane Ian. You know, we lost 12,000 residential housing facilities through that. And we're really not recovered from that. And then you throw on top, there was the big housing boom. And then you throw the incredible cost of insurance in Florida right now, mostly because Tallahassee has sold out the people. They've done tort reform, so you can't sue these folks if they're doing you wrong. We had instances post-Hurricane Ian where homeowners were only getting 20% of what the public adjusters had said the cost to repair their homes was going to be. And there's no recourse for us here. So tell us a little bit about your ideas to address this really thorny problem of affordable housing and insurance.
Well, for one, the state need to hold the insurance companies responsible. You know, they come into the state and they're getting a premium every year. And at times there are years that we don't have any hurricanes, and then we get a hurricane, and then, you know, we have these companies that, you know, start dropping people, canceling policies, kind of like minimizing their damages and not really giving them enough to make repairs to their homes. Mm-hmm. And that's causing people to experience more financial burden, more stress, you know, on trying to get their homes repaired, keep paying their mortgages, their taxes, you know, on top of having an aggravated insurance price. You know, we have to pass legislative that's gonna, you know, address those issues. And over the past few years, you know, there have been at least 3 or 4 times that the governor called for special session and refused to even address the issues of insurance.
Right.
You know, and that's really sad, because the vast even areas that was not affected by the storm, they're being affected by the price of insurance. Mm-hmm. And insurance has doubled, in some places even tripled, the amount, you know, post Ian and post COVID. You know, see, but that's another issue, you know, that we in the state, or we particularly in Southwest Florida, you know, faced COVID for 2 or 3 years, and then we had Ian come through. So it was like a double whammy for a lot of households here, including my own. So there was a lot of different factors that came in and really aggravated already stressful situation here in Southwest Florida. I mean, I was just looking the other day, and it said that one of the statistics on the amount of money that you would have to make in order to afford a home here in Southwest Florida is between $100,000 and $108,000, $9,000. That's how much you would have to make in order to be able to afford a home here. And I know that, you know, the majority of the people here in the county don't make that type of money.
No.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe I saw one study that says that Lee County is about About 15 or 16% that are right at that poverty level line, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have a lot of people here that cannot afford to buy a home. And that's, you know, in addition to the cost of rent. Rent is over $2,000 a month, you know. Yep. So, I mean, that's a lot that is costing, you know, everyday Floridians just to keep the roof over their head. We're not even talking about all the other necessities that you need to survive. That's right. Only the roof over their head. So we need to start focusing on programs and bringing more federal funding within our state that will help relax some of the burdens that we have, you know, as a citizen in Southwest Florida and Florida as general. You know, yeah. We have to start, you know, doing things to try and level this playing field off. We can't allow mega developers to come in, buy up land, and now they're starting to make these giant rental properties where you have, you can rent a home instead of buying a home. So right. You know, that's, you know, at the same time they're not addressing the affordable housing situation. So, and that's one right. big problem. We don't have enough affordable housing. So it's causing, you know, the prices to skyrocket because we don't have enough of it. So even though we see a lot of development going on, it's not affordable.
It's a lot of it is luxury housing. Yeah. Well, I'd like to tell this story too, because it's a, you know, we actually lived in the same neighborhood at one point, you and I, right? You know, it's outside of Fort Myers. It had been one of the early developments going out towards Lehigh and stuff. Beautiful homes, right, by the way. And I'm not sure if are you renting or buying in your community?
I'm buying.
You bought. So I was renting. Okay. Yeah. I had, you know, got caught up in the housing crisis, went through a divorce, you know, this is stuff that happens in life. Right. And then end up selling my house, trying to reduce my costs. And then I started renting and then they decided to sell. And then I got caught up in the super high rental issue. Right. So I was actually ended up paying more to live in the neighborhood that you were living in. I was paying $2,400 a month in rent.
Yeah.
And that was more than the mortgage than the house that I had sold 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and I know that the property there had, they had jacked that rent up more than doubled it from what the previous tenant had. And I actually couldn't stay in that neighborhood because, you know, it was so cost heavy for me. But yeah, I mean, if it, like, I don't know, I was trying to get to see if we could get like a reaction on your face when I told you I was paying $2,400 a month to just rent in that neighborhood.
It's, you know, because, you know, it hits really close to home, you know, because, you know, even as a homeowner, we've had difficulties, you know, like I said earlier, when COVID came, you know, my wife was teaching at the time. And, you know, the schools closed down, and then that meant that she was out of work, you know, and then certain times of the year, you know, I don't work as many hours as I do in certain parts of the year. So therefore, it became a very, very, very strenuous situation, you know, for us, you know, and I mean, we still haven't recovered from all of that yet. We are still struggling. Yeah. You know, we are two faces that represents tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people throughout the state that are really struggling just to make the ends meet. And I think we as a nation has become, you know, used to struggling. And I don't think that is not a part of the American dream to have to struggle. That should not be considered the norm. You know, and that's where we are now. Oh, it's just normal. No, it's not normal.
Right.
You know, we live in a country to where, you know, we should be able to survive and thrive. You know, we're working every day to still have to go to the grocery store and literally have to choose meals to make it to the end of the week. We just can't go to the grocery store and get what we need. You know, I mean, for my household alone, you know, in order for me to pack my house with food, with all of the nutritious things that we need, it will go well over $2,000 a month just to be able to put food on the table. And that's insane that you have to spend so much money, you know, to do that. You know, and I think about, you know, I don't make a whole lot of money, but I always think about the people that make less money, you know, right. and the distress and the strain that comes upon them in order to do the same thing. I know if I'm struggling, it's hard to even imagine somebody else that's making less, you know, what they have to go through. You know, I mean, absolutely. You can literally spend on rent in this area alone between $23,000 and $27,000 a year. Yep. I mean, for someone who's only making $30,000 a year, my goodness.
How are you going to do that? Right.
How are you going to do it? The system is so outdated to the point to where, you know, it needs to be revamped to come to the standards of what we have today. Because as you know, our parents, you know, made more money than what we're making today when you consider the prices of everything. Our grandparents.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so if we were to take and redo the formula that actually show, you know, the poverty level, I believe you show a whole lot more people that is really struggling, that are really living, you know, with less, you know, because absolutely. That system is so outdated. Till I think now, what is it, like 21,000? It says that, you know, for 19,000, 20,000, that's
yeah. Well, it also depends on how many people in your household, kids right, and stuff right, like that. But right. Yeah,
but I believe that number is probably should be closer to about 30,000. Yeah.
Well, and it's
to be considered that, you know.
Yeah, and it's not always necessarily based on the local cost of goods and services.
Right.
You know, like your housing costs and stuff like that. Yeah, it is terrible. And I'm glad that there's folks out there like you, and me too, like that are telling the story of this, because I get really upset when the narrative is, oh, if you are struggling to pay for housing and for food or with poverty, that something's wrong with you. Like you're a bad person. Like you're not working hard enough. I don't think anybody that has ever met you or I would say, oh, you're not working hard enough. Like, you know, like you're up at really, really early in the morning, you know, doing your work and doing service for the community, running for Congress. You've been doing your work, advocating for unions. Like no one would say that Cornelius Fowler is not working hard enough.
Yeah, you know, and I will say to that, you know, my day starts at about 3:15 in the morning.
Oof.
That's when my day starts. And I leave my house in the dark. I return in the dark, you know, because I'm a farmer. And that's what we do. It's not a farmer out there that will tell you that, you know, I start my day at 9 and end at 5. No, you know, otherwise we wouldn't get the food to the market if we right. did that. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's just a part of, you know, my life, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, I know that, you know, there are people that are out there that, you know, would love to be able to make a decent living, spend more time with their families. You know, I think that's what we're missing there, you know. And yes, you know, I am a union member. I'm a proud, active union member. You know, I'm the vice president of our local lodge. I'm vice president of our machinist state council. I'm a trustee for our district lodge machinist union, 166. I'm a trustee for the Palm Beach Treasure Coast AFL-CIO-CLC. So, you know, I have my hand in on everything where it's dealing with a service to the people, you know, and that's very important to me. It is to, you know, help as many people as I can, you know, and to do what's right for the people. You know, that's a part of my platform is to have the people included in what's going on. You know, as you see the party that's in control now, you know, they pass all of these bills that's really totally disrespectful to the people. Mm-hmm. You know, I was up there a few weeks ago sitting in some committees, and we had well over 100 people, you know, stand in opposition, and they look you dead in the eye and pass that bill right on down the road. Pass it right on down the road with no regards to the people that is actually hurting. They're only interested in their self-interest, and that's not right. You know, it should never be about you, but all about us, you know, mm-hmm. as a people. So we need people in our political leadership that's willing to work with the people, not just special interests. And I'm a true believer that there needs to be balance between the working class people and cooperation, because the cooperation need the people need the cooperations. So there needs to be a balance. But right now, with certain things that they're passing, is giving all of the benefit and the power to corporations. You know, so you know, we need to be able to have a voice. You know, like one of the bills, SB 256 that were passed last year, the union busting bill. You know, that what that was attack on all unions across the state by strangling the voices of the people. That's exactly what it did. It was nothing more than to strangle the voices of the people. You know, when union votes, we win. So therefore, by attacking the unions and taking that union membership number down, it affects the entire body.
Yep.
So, you know, that was one of the things that they did on last year. I mean, also the immigration bill.
Yep.
You know, they passed. That was a very, to me, that was a very sad bill to pass. You know, attacking people that's coming to our state to work. You know, everybody, and we know that there's an issue at the border that needs attention. But the vast majority of the people that are coming over, they're putting their life on the line just to have a fraction of what we have, what we have to get that American experience. And I mean, that's something that we all want to experience. I mean, we're only the greatest nation in the world. Why not? Why wouldn't anybody want to come here?
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, I'm all for it. But, you know, I just think that we need to, you know, do things that help people, not hurt people.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, and the immigration bill was like, that was just red meat. That was Ron DeSantis trying to do something for his presidential campaign. And it ended up not only just hurting, you know, households that have migrant family members and stuff, which in a lot of the cases, mixed households, right? Mixed documentation households. But it really did hurt many industries across the state of Florida that employed folks. And so what did they do this session instead? They passed the bill to allow 16 and 17 year olds to work full time and to work in dangerous jobs, right? And I know that was something that you were advocating against.
Oh yeah, you know, again, you know, they attacked the they passed the immigration bill on last year, and like you just said, they passed the child labor law this year. So you take people out of the work industry, and then now you want to put kids into those places. You know, I mean, our kids need to really focus on their education. You know, I mean, in addition to them attacking the education system already, now you want to, you know, take the kids pretty much out of the education system, because I feel like this, if a 16, 17 year old is able to go out there and make $600 or $700 a week, you know, then education is going to become, you know, on the back burner. You're not going to be interested in that. Yeah. And then on top of that, is the law actually allowed them to work way past hours that, you know, they would work under the current law that allows, you know, teens and kids to work. You know, so I just think that, you know, again, it's just an attack. Our kids just need to be kids. You know, they don't need to be out in competition with pretty much their parents for jobs. You know, and that's what it is. Now you put in adults that have, you know, big responsibilities to maintain a house in competition with kids, you know, and I just think that's unfortunate that we would go that route, you know, instead of just doing what's right, you know, getting together a good, you know, immigration policy that allow people to come into our countries, you know, legally and to be able to make a living. You know, I come from a rural community, you know, and out around Lake Okeechobee, Western Palm Beach County. You know, the vast majority of the people that are there are people from a different country, you know, and otherwise, you know, those people, and even, you know, the minority, all of the minority people in that area wouldn't really have the opportunity to make the money that they make, you know, at these industries that's out there, you know, if they didn't have the opportunity to come here, you know? So, I mean, there are countless of people that are out there that have built a good life, you know, and making really decent wages, you know, to support their families, you know? So with these bills that are being passed, it attacking that, you know, that opportunity, the land of opportunity, you know? So we need to make the American dream more easier to accomplish than where we're at right now. It has become weighed down by too many obstacles. It's too much red tape to cut through to achieve the American dream, or the American dream right now. You know, we need to make this thing possible for every American citizen in this country.
Absolutely. I love that. Okay, so let's go ahead and end it there. So Cornelius Fowler running for House District 77, that's including Lehigh. And tell us all the areas it covers again.
Lehigh, Charleston Park, Buckingham. San Carlos Park, all the areas around FGCU down into Gateway. Okay. Pretty much everything that's east of I-75. South on Highway 80, all the way out to Charleston Park.
All right, great. So that's the area. Those are the folks that are going to be able to vote for Cornelius Fowler, get rid of the cronies right now. Because the other thing that I wanted to point out is that you're not taking any donations from developers or insurance company, right?
No, I'm not.
Unlike your opposition. Exactly. Who's got a bank account full of money from developers and insurance companies.
Right. Again, you know, if you're not willing to put yourself on the line, then you have been bought and the people have been sold. You know, as I always say, if you're not at the table, then you are on the menu. It's time for Floridians to get off the menu. And how do we get off the menu? By putting the working class people back at the table. So you can follow my website. I'm on Facebook, www.corneliusfowler.com. I'm on ActBlue if you wish to make donations or volunteer. You know, all help is greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. And that's what we need. So you can see at the bottom of the screen here, CorneliusFowler.com is where you can get in touch, and definitely need to support grassroots Democrats running in the state of Florida, because that's the only way we're going to make change and really put the working class back at the table. So thanks so much for joining us here today, Cornelius. Really appreciate it. This has been Dr. Cindy Speaks with your host, Dr. Cindy Banier. And we'll see you next time on the Big Mouth Media Network. And don't forget to check out all of our amazing shows at Big Mouth Media, www.bigmouthmediafl.com, and help us out, help us continue to provide you with this high quality content. Subscribe to our shows. $19.99 a month keeps everything going. You can subscribe to Dr. Cindy Speaks for $4.99 a month. That keeps me able to interview amazing candidates like Cornelius and keep the fight going to fight fascism right here in the state of Florida. So thanks once again for joining us, and thanks to our guest, Cornelius Fowler. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Dr. Cindy Speaks. If you'd like to learn more about her, go to CindyBanier.com or connect with her directly at vote@CindyBanier.com. We love connecting with people.